I am sure that you are aware from your reading and studying of the Bible that the Bible is a very down-to-earth book. I believe that this is one of the endearing characteristics of God's Word. It is down-to-earth and practical. It rings true to our experience of the way life is. And many times, it is very easy to relate to. Such is the case with a number of places in the Bible that talk about hearing God's word, listening to God's word, and acting upon it. Hearing the word of God and putting it into practice, or as our gospel lesson speaks of this morning, saying things about God and doing the things of God. This issue is addressed throughout the scriptures by several very down-to-earth examples. For example, James writes in his epistle about a man who hears the word of God and does not put it into practice, being like a person who gets up and looks into that mirror and sees what they look like and then walks away and immediately forgets what they have seen. Now, I like to embellish that example a little bit this way. All of us in the morning, we get up and one of the things we do, right, is we look into the mirror. Perhaps it was a rough night of sleep and we've got that bedhead. You know what that's like, right? And you have that little crusty stuff in the corner of your eyes, and man, you've got that stubble on your face. Imagine getting up in the morning, looking into the mirror and seeing all of that. Boy, I've got a lot to do to get ready for my day. And then you walk off and you do nothing. That's a way of thinking what it's like to hear God's word and not put it into practice. Or Jesus elsewhere than our gospel lesson this morning, where he speaks about a person who hears the word of God and does not put it into practice, being like a foolish builder who builds their house on shifting sand. And so when the storms of life come, that house comes tumbling down with a resounding crash. On the other hand, the person who hears the word of God and puts it into practice is like the wise builder building their house on the solid rock, so that when the storms of life come, in that case, that house stands firm. And here in our gospel lesson, Jesus, of course, talks about two sons. The father asks the first son to go and work in his vineyard, and the son says, "No, no way, Dad, I'm not going." But then later on, he thinks about it and decides to go, and he indeed does go and work in the vineyard. The second son is asked the same question. He says, "Sure, Dad, I'll go." But he never gets around to it, and he doesn't go. Jesus is focusing on what we say and how that is related to what we do. What Jesus is describing is what we call lip service, but with a twist. He is condemning those who say that God and the things of God are important, but that's all they do is they say those things are important, but there's no action to support those words. They say it's important. They give lip service to that idea, but they don't do anything to put God's word into practice, and they don't really want to live as followers of Jesus. In Jesus' day, this description largely fit the scribes and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of his day. But the twist to this is that Jesus points out that the people who were looked down upon in the society of his day, looked down upon especially by the religious establishment, those people who were considered to be farthest away from the kingdom of God, the hated tax collectors and the prostitutes, they were the ones who heard the call of John the Baptist and repented. They were the ones who heard that call and turned and changed. And Jesus says, enter the kingdom of God before the religious leaders of his day. And in many cases, they were also the ones who became followers of Jesus. They, the least likely to follow Jesus by any objective standard, they were the ones who were like that first son, who at first refused the things of God, but then came to call upon the Lord. And the religious leaders, well, they were like that second son who had the right words to say, but really, in the end, were the ones opposed to God and the things of God. All of this is a textbook example of what Jesus mentions several times throughout the Gospels. The last will be first, and the first will be last. I mentioned at the outset of the sermon this morning that the Bible is a very down-to-earth book, and I endeavor to be a very down-to-earth preacher. So here's the question for you to consider. So who are you in this story? Which son are you? Are you the first son who initially says, no, no, I won't? But then, as God continues to work in your heart and life, end up working in God's vineyard? Or are you the one who talks a good game, who says, yes, God's important, absolutely, I want to follow Jesus, but there's little or nothing to show in terms of working in the vineyard? Which son are you? My answer to the question, which son are you, is both. Both. Sometimes I am like that first son and say, no, God, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to. But then I think about it and pray about it, and God does his work, and I do end up doing what God is calling me to do. And yes, sometimes I say, sure, God, I'll do that, no problem. But that's all that gets done, because it doesn't happen. And my guess is that that description fits most, if not all of us, who are gathered here for worship in God's house this morning. That's because you and I are both saints and sinners. Sometimes we do heed that call to repentance and renewal and new life. We're right there with where God's leading, and we go forth and work in that vineyard, and other times, not so much. We may say the right things, but like the second son, or that guy who built his house on the sand, or that man or woman that looks into the mirror and then goes off and forgets what they've just seen, we don't act upon what we say. And there's a lot more talk than there is action. It is for this reason that we need the forgiveness Jesus won for us on the cross. We need the persistent prompting of God the Holy Spirit, who day by day calls us back in repentance to God, to turn back, to change our thinking, and in changing our thinking, to change our behavior as well. We are called to consider the words and the deeds of the other son, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of the world. Jesus, who obediently went the way laid out by his heavenly Father and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. Jesus, who not only said he loved us, but who acted upon that love and offered himself up on a cross for us. Day by day, we look to the other son for forgiveness and new life, for a changed way of living, for a life with Jesus that says, how can I live more like Jesus every day? A man had two sons. The vineyard's gate stands open. The father calls to you and me, his daughters and his sons. Daughter, son, go and work today in my vineyard. What is your response? Will you say no and then eventually go? Will you say sure and then not do anything? Or will you respond in a different way? May we be among those who are spurred to action by God's life-changing word so that we may respond not just with our lips, but also with our very lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.